Blackhawks fans, welcome into the Four Feathers podcast. It's Johnny Nani alongside my guy Tony on tap coming at you here Tuesday, December 12th. Tony, kind of a big deal, big game tonight going on in the NHL. Getting ready?
Oh, Johnny, you know that we love late night hockey in this house. I know you love it over there by you too. It's going to be the battle of the Connors, Connor versus Connor. And I'm pretty stoked for this one. How about you?
Yeah, I think the whole hockey world is looking forward to this, and even just kind of casual sports observers who have heard Connor Bedard's name now over the last, 6 months or so with the draft and the lead up and now the start of the season. And obviously, Connor McDavid is probably the most recognizable name in hockey that is not Sidney Crosby or Patrick Kane right now, I would say as well. So going to be a good one. First time these two are meeting head to head, a couple of Canadian boys meeting up in, Canada up there in Edmonton, like you'd mentioned. That's road trip starting. So we'll get into all of that, but there's a lot more news too, because I think there's more to this game than just the Battle of the Connors, which we'll get into for specific reasons coming up here. Before we do any of that though, make sure you jump over on YouTube at OnTap Sportsnet there, subscribe, like, press the alert button, all that good stuff, so you know when we go live. Like us over on Facebook, OnTap Sportsnet as well, because that's where you need to drop your comments in if you want to get in on it. Like our guy Kirk here, he says, "What's up, fellas? What's up, Kirk? Happy birthday. Hoping
happy
to celebrate
birthday, Kirk.
Hawks win with you too." But if you want to drop your takes in there, you got to go over to YouTube or Facebook at OnTap Sportsnet, drop them in there. We cannot see your comments if you post them via Twitter/X. So go over OnTap Sportsnet, YouTube, and Facebook, and you can find us on socials at Four Feathers Pod, at OnTap Sportsnet, and as always, OnTapSportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. All right, Tony, obviously we kind of prefaced the matchup there, and we'll get to that too, because we're going to talk about a couple of upcoming games here. But man, let's talk team status right now. Blackhawks are in the basement of the Central. They're in the basement of the NHL, only better than San Jose by points percentage. They're both at 19, I believe, there. And that was a result, even with winning a couple of games as of late over the weekend. It was good to see a win Saturday against St. Louis, but then they lost Sunday when you were in attendance against Washington. Takeaways from the weekend before we get going here.
More of that stop and go stuff. I mean, it was great, Johnny, to have a little mini win streak, the first back-to-back wins of the season. We were able to get those. But then more of the same on Sunday. I mean, this is a St. Louis Blues team. I thought that they played pretty decently throughout most of the game. The biggest takeaway that I had, Johnny, and this is an overall week statement, is that Arvid Soderblom did everything he possibly could to ruin my week. I was there for both of those games that he started in net, and we've reached this apex of the season in the goaltending situation where I don't even want to show up if Arvid Soderblom's in net, because I just feel that bad things are going to happen. I'm down that rabbit hole, I think, more than anyone else, although I've seen a lot of takes online saying, you know, they want Soderblom out of here already. It's stop and go, and there's really no passing of the momentum between the goaltenders right now at all. Teams banged up. There's just a lot that's wrong right now, Johnny. I don't know if you've got anything to add to that, but it feels like there's so many moving parts right now.
I want to touch on the Arvid Soderblom thing, because I feel like we kind of opened it up, at least on this show, in like early November, when we asked the question, and it feels like the eternal question now, is Arvid Soderblom ass? And we've gotten responses on both sides of the argument, and I like hearing them, because there are certain things that you can go and look at and be like, oh, well, the goal support isn't there, and oh, well, you know, the number of other factors that play into some of his struggles. But at the end of the day, you're right. Results matter. And his results, you go and look at the hockey reference page, it's brutal. And then also for me, I look at very specifically rebound control. He is still not improving in that department. So in that specific area, yes, Arvid Soderblom is ass. But do I think that it can improve? I think it's tweaks that can be made from a physical standpoint, from a positioning standpoint, from a, you know, coaching standpoint that can help fix him moving forward. But you're right, the results that you end up showing up there, and it's usually an L in the column next to Arvid Soderblom when it comes to a decision. So that was certainly something to take away here. But Tony, I want to highlight a positive, and that is Jason Dickinson. This guy is hot as all hell. Entering play on Monday, the Blackhawks weren't in action, but I was watching a little bit of NHL Network, and they had a little graphic up, and it was most goals in the league since November 22nd. and Jason Dickinson was tied, three-way tie, Michael Carcone and one other name up there with seven apiece. And Carcone did log one last night, even though the Coyotes lost, so he is now in the lead as we enter Tuesday. But Jason Dickinson, he stays high, gets a goal on Saturday, and Anthony Beauvillier also gets his first goal in a Blackhawks uniform on Saturday. So that was some positive stuff, Tony. I like a good Saturday night win at the UC.
Yeah, Saturday night at the UC, we talked about this coming into this year, the addition of some extra games at the United Center on Saturday night specifically. That's something that I think we as fans have been clamoring for a while. Here it is. This is the year we finally get it. The Hawks capitalize on it. You and Ron talked a lot about this the other day. These matinee games that we've been playing almost, it seems like, all year. Finally, you get that Saturday night game. There was a lot of energy there. The attendance was back up. I know the Ben Pope attendance tracker. I don't know if you follow that closely as I do. You can see the attendance creep back up, a little bit more energy in the building. And I love that you brought up Dickinson, man. I mean, I was at the hat trick game that he had there. I believe that was Black Hawks Friday. That was a matinee game as well. However, he has just taken off from there. And I wondered where the scoring was going to come from on this team in terms of forwards. He's done his job and then some to bring some scoring prowess to the Blackhawks forward group. And is it too early to say he's in consideration for All-Star, maybe breakout player of the year in the Hawks? I know that Connor Bedard is sort of the de facto answer there, but I've really enjoyed watching Jason Dickinson play for the Hawks this season.
Yeah, right. It's good. I would say, you know, if you're talking about breakout player for the Hawks, absolutely. I'd put him in that camp. I think it'd be a tough go for All-Stars. I would imagine the Blackhawks only have one, and it will be Mr. Connor Bedard. That's just my take on it, though. One other takeaway I had from Saturday night's game, Tony, was Nikita Zaitsev. Nikita Zaitsev, two assists, gets the... It looked like he had a goal in there, too, at first. It was credited to him, but then that was changed, and that's how Beauvillier got his first. But first star of the game, hey, much has been made, especially by me and Ron Luce on the show, about Nikita Zaitsev being a traffic cone and good for nothing else. Well, guess what? The Blackhawks have a bunch of injuries and absences. They're banged up. We're going to talk about that in a little bit in detail, but that means he's getting more consistent time here. And hey, I think the Saturday night games do it for him, Tony, because we were there early November against the Florida Panthers, and he walked into the slot and had an absolute great, ripped a wrister in that one Saturday night home game, scored the first goal among Blackhawks defensemen all season in that one, and then now he adds a couple of assists there. Good to see him get the first star and then the belt too on Saturday. So the depth is important, and when you can get, especially from a veteran guy like that, that we didn't really expect much from, I think that's important for this team going forward. So, you know, you were there on Sunday talking about this. Bedard had two assists in this one, a nasty dish. But unfortunately, Tony, I hate that it came in garbage time. I didn't even feel like posting the highlight from Four Feathers. That's just kind of what irks me about this one.
It was some garbage time hockey there, Johnny. And unfortunately, that one fell away from the Hawks. And there wasn't really much they were going to be able to do to muster themselves back into this game. Just some minor things to clean up throughout that game as well. I'll take the lens off the goaltending situation that was going on Sunday, but this was just a classic Blackhawks game that we've watched this season. Young team, lots of mental mistakes, took their foot off the gas is really what it felt like. And that energy was felt throughout the stadium for sure.
And another point about Sunday's game, you and I were on this show on Thursday night after the win against the Ducks, right? And we were talking about, you know, needing to celebrate a power play goal in a shutout when it happens. Well, Blackhawks had six power play opportunities on Sunday night, and they could not convert on a single one of them. I know they held Washington 0-for-3 there, but man, you get that much. I was going and looking at like the penalty minutes on that, and it was ridiculous that, you know, you got to be able to at least score one there and turn some momentum in the game. They weren't able to do that. Unfortunately, I feel like that's going to be a running theme. We've already seen it happen for what feels like weeks at a time, that when they break out, it's, oh, well, this, they're starting to generate more chances and this and that. Well, you can't fall back into walls like this. You got to keep the momentum rolling, keep the ball rolling forward. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to do that. So that was kind of the tale of the back-to-back weekend, Tony. Throughout all of this, the Blackhawks have been chipped away at. Injuries, absences-wise, it started with Kevin Korchinski, placed on non-roster. It's a family matter for him. He missed the back-to-back weekend slate. He'll also be out tonight against Edmonton. Hope everything's well on that front, but it sucks not having him in the lineup. And that makes even more so when you have guys like Jared Tinordi, guy that you love for toughness and grit, DWTW. Well, he was back for three games, and then he exited early from that one on Tuesday against Nashville. He's in concussion protocol on IR, retroactive there. We got another one today. Seth Jones didn't make the trip, so that's just wonderful. That's an upper body thing. They said he went into the x-ray room, but he was just a little sore. That's where we stand with injuries, though. You're looking at a ragtag bunch of defensemen going up against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl tonight, Tony. What do you make of all these injuries and absences?
Hey, this is going to be a lot of minutes for her. One of my favorite defensemen to watch this season, Alex Vlasic, who also came up on the score sheet this past weekend with a very nice snipe. But yeah, this is thin. And you're already talking about a very young defensive core. You lose Seth Jones. I don't know where these minutes are really going to come from. Are you expecting to see Connor Murphy out there for a good 35, 40 minutes tonight? Because they might need him to be. I'm not sure what they're going to be able to do to contain Edmonton and specifically McDavid. There's some other talent on this team as well that they've got a lot of speed, and it's going to be tough. The Hawks have some big defenders and Crevier, Vlasic up there. It's going to be a real test. This is swimming in the deep end of the pool for sure.
I think it's going to be a bloodbath, and it's not going to be pretty. And the Oilers are probably going to win like 6-1, to be quite frank with you. That's just what the writing is on the wall for this. People love to rag on Seth Jones because he's got such a big contract and all that. I guarantee you see shit hit the fan tonight without him in the lineup. And I'm not trying to sit here and say, haha, I told you so. I don't want it to be that way because there are legitimate criticisms of Seth Jones. But go ahead, just watch and see how much of a pillar he is for the back end of this team. The bona fide, certified number one defenseman, no question about it. Highest average ice time among skaters on the team, averages 25 a game. And some nights that creeps up closer to 30, and especially against a high scoring team. As looking at some other games against, you know, teams with high octane offenses there, that number jumps up around that 30 minute mark. How do you feel that? Yeah, Connor Murphy's going to have to step up there. Alex Vlasic will get increased minutes, but you're asking a lot of guys. Like, because, you know, where else do you go down the depth chart there? Isaac Phillips, Louis Crevier, they're in there. Well, you can't really ask them to play in all of those situations all the time. Maybe you try and divvy it up a little bit, at least at any points where you possibly can if you're Luke Richardson. But at the end of the day, you're relying on some guys where the skill level just isn't the same as it is when you have your number one horse in there.
Absolutely, man. It's just going to be a real test. I don't see it going well either, Johnny. So,
right. And that's just on the back end too. Luckily Ryan Donato's back tonight. I believe it's Reese Johnson that's going to come out of the lineup here, but you know, Donato missing the back-to-back over the weekend with an illness. Hopefully that doesn't spread around the Hawks room. So they've already got enough bumps and bruises. They don't need the sickness on top of it too. I'm not down with the sickness, Tony.
No, we don't need the sickness. You know, the sickness is rolling around these days. It's looks like it's hit my house as well here, Johnny. So it's that time of year. It's that time of year. We've got people down upstairs. But the real question I have for you is, where's Andreas Athanasiou at? Yeah. Has there been any update on this guy?
Has he disappeared? It's been over a month now. He's still on injured reserve, lower body, no designation. You know how hockey teams love to do that and throw out that designation. That's what it is. And we have not gotten an update on him. They said that, you know, possibly getting closer to skating, but that was what, during last week's homestand, in the early portion of it, never came to morning skate, was never practicing on his own. At least what was reported, based on those morning skates, didn't really have true practice sessions for the most part last week. So still a mystery. And it's been a month now because it was November 9th in which he suffered that injury. And I believe that's what his IR date went back to. So kind of in the dark on that one. So one other roster transaction before we get into the big matchup tonight, Tony, Boris Kachuk, a guy that I am usually pretty think highly of here on the show, maybe in the minority, but he goes through waivers, clears, sent down to Rockford. Luke Richardson's take on that. For a guy like that, he needs to skate and play in the games. That's what Rockford is there for. He definitely was disappointed, but we personally think it's the best thing for him right now. I'd agree if he's not getting the minutes. The last time he played was December 3rd. Other, you know, Joey Anderson has made a case for himself to be stay in the lineup. So Boris Kachuk, the minutes just weren't there. It's tough to see because I do think he has more potential than some like to give him credit for. But at this juncture, if he can pass him through waivers and get him more consistent minutes down there, I think that helps build his confidence back up.
Yeah, I think so too, Johnny. And I was actually sort of surprised that, you know, they placed him on waivers and he wasn't claimed. It's not really a, I know you're high on him. I've been sort of high on him as well. And I believe Ron raves about him sometimes too. So, you know, maybe it's just not minutes there on any organization, you know, roster to give him those minutes. I'm glad he's still with the club, but I was a little bit shocked. And then, you know, now you get the reasoning. They want him to play a little bit more. I just thought that he was going to have a better season so far than this. I'm a little higher on Boris Kachuk than I am a Reese Johnson or a Joey Anderson or some of those other names that we've mentioned who've had somewhat decent seasons so far. But again, this is a last place team, Johnny, outside of the San Jose Sharks. I would think that there would be some opportunity to get him into the lineup and get him jump started, provided that he goes down to Rockford, does what he needs to do there and can gain that confidence, get his game back going.
All it takes is an injury among that group. We just talked, what, for 7-8 minutes about defenseman injuries? Guess what?
Yep.
You had another one to that forward mix, and he could very well be back up. We'll have to see what the case is. But like I said, I think Joey Anderson deserves some props because he was a little bit of a, I'd like to call him our hidden gem of sorts. When the first wave of injuries came about with Hall and Athanasiou, he was one of those first call-ups and made an immediate impact with, I want to say, a span of like, you know, 6-7 games, already had 4 assists piled up within those. So props to him, but it leaves a guy like Boris Kachuk out of the mix here. So we'll have to see what the future holds on that front. But for now, he is down with the Rockford IceHogs. Let's talk about the matchup everybody's waiting for. Everybody wants to see, Tony. It's Connor Bedard. It's Connor McDavid. ESPN's drooling over this. You knew they had to get their hands on this game. So it'll be a national TV game tonight, 9 o'clock puck drop. What are you expecting from this game? I know we just talked about a bunch of injuries, but let's talk about the star power up front here with these two.
Yeah, I mean, I think Connor Bedard is definitely due to find the back of the net, Johnny. It feels like it's been a little too long. It's almost like we need to issue the Bedard watch tonight. You know, this is going to be, again, nationally televised, as you said, 9 p.m. puck drop for this one. I'm a little concerned with that from a scheduling standpoint. You'd think that they would flex this a little bit earlier for the folks out there on the East Coast, but I digress. We like late night hockey here. So fine by me, just puzzling scheduling decision.
They got Blues and Red Wings in the early slot, so
You know, Patrick Kane can still get his flowers, I guess, over there in Detroit, so I get it. But I mean, I'm expecting both of these guys to score tonight, both Connors. Yeah. I don't know about you. I think it's just, you know, cinematic if they do.
Yeah, I am as well. Let's run a little tail of the tape here and what we're looking at here. Connor Bedard, through his first 27 games of his NHL career here, 23 points. He's got 11 goals and 12 helpers. Connor McDavid is on an absolute tear after, you know, I think he had to lose a little bit banged up early in the year, so he did miss a handful of games. But now that the Oilers are rolling, he's a big driver behind that. Overall,
things were off the rails up there for a little
bit. I declared them cooked, and we're going to have to talk about that in a little bit. But Connor McDavid at 36 points, 10 goals and 26 assists through 23 games this year. He's been on fire throughout that Oilers 7-game winning streak. Let's run another little comparison through his first 27 NHL games, since that's what Connor Bedard has under his belt. He had 29 points and 10 goals, 19 assists to get that. So, hey, Connor Bedard only 6 points behind that pace. That's pretty damn good, especially playing on the caliber of team that Connor Bedard is right now.
Yeah, there's not a lot of help for Connor Bedard, and that line has looked somewhat dysfunctional. I know he had the nice nifty little sauce pass this weekend for the assist he talked about came in garbage time, but I just want more highlight reel Connor Bedard goals. It feels like it's been too long. He does need some help up there. What are your thoughts on this first line, and what can they do, Johnny, to get him maybe jump started a little bit more, finding the back of the net.
Yeah, well, Philip Kershaw probably needs more smelling salts, right? If you're looking at in that regard, because there's no Taylor Hall, there's no Andreas Athanasiou to add that extra burst of speed. Now, Kershaw can move pretty well himself, but when that line was first clicking and what really solidified Richardson wanting to stick Kershaw alongside Bedard was because Kershaw in his first couple games back was a friggin' energizer bunny. He was going around digging out every single puck possible. He was getting to the dirty areas. He was, you know, he's skilled enough to then receive passes from Bedard on that front too, if they forget about him. So Philip Kershaw needs to revamp the energy level again here and return to that if you really want to jumpstart it, because there's not much help anywhere else. Other than that, you'd have to go line blender and hope for instant chemistry in game here. And I don't think that's in the cards. So it's pretty much on Philip Kershaw and Connor Bedard to use his immense skill set to find openings, and whether that be on a pass, a shot, maybe let one rip and really, really snipe a corner too. It's going to have to be something great like that.
Yeah, and it's really difficult to put yourself in the right spot for that to happen, Johnny. And Connor's done that a couple of times. We know exactly which highlight reel goals we're talking about. Maybe strip a puck on the forecheck, put one in. But it feels like in watching this in person on Sunday, there's just an immediate swarm of Connor Bedard if he enters the zone with the puck. There's two defenders on him immediately, and not a lot of help for him elsewhere around the ice. So I'm looking for them to get a little bit more creative with this. I don't know. You talk a little bit about line blender. I don't know if I want to screw up that third line again, or move Foligno around, or do something to get him a little bit more veteran presence, but there's something has to happen here,
especially against a team like Edmonton with the speed that they have. Not the time to do it right now. I was just thinking, you know, maybe future down the road to get him going. But for tonight, that also goes to an Anthony Beauvillier. Okay, he's playing back up in Canada again. He's from there. Obviously he had the visa situation that held him up from joining the Blackhawks full time for a little bit, but that's all resolved. He's here full time now. He's a full time member of the first line. I'm hoping that seeing one go in the back of the net, even if it had to be a adjusted credit on the goal. He's got one under his belt. They don't ask how, they ask how many. So take that confidence and build on it as well. I had talked a lot about Philip Kershaw, but you know, Anthony Beauvillier, I like Luke Richardson's description of him immediately after the trade, in that he was a little spitfire. That was the description that, you know, Richardson, being a former assistant with the Islanders in Beauvillier's early days there, that's what he described him. So that's what you need then. You can talk about the description all you want. That's what you need then up front in order to open up these plays for Connor Bedard, because like you said, they're going to swarm him. You see it on the power play, and luckily that has resulted in some openings for other guys, because there's one less guy on the ice, one less defender, and when you draw two of them towards you, someone is bound to be open elsewhere. But at 5-on-5 too, you got to go the extra mile if you're Anthony Beauvillier and Philip Kershaw.
Very well said, Johnny. I want to see more from that first line. I think that's my takeaway from all of this. If the Hawks are going to do anything in tonight's game, make it that the first line looks like a first line out there.
Yep. I would like that too. It'll be interesting to see how the matchups play out here. Tony, the Oilers have found their stride as of late. I declared them cooked. I want to say it was in early November. I mean, it was bad. They didn't play a lick of defense early on. They got Jay Woodcroft fired, who I actually think is a decent NHL coach. There was no, like, you know, sometimes you have like issues with the players don't, you know, vibe with them or whatever. I think it was a defensive system he was trying to implement, and they basically rejected it, like the Blackhawks did with Jeremy Colladin's bullshit system, right? That is essentially what got Jay Woodcroft fired up in Edmonton. And since they've been able to go back to their zone and like whatever, they're not a stout defensive team by any means, but they're doing enough then to allow their offense to go to work, which is their bread and butter.
You did declare them cooked at one point, Johnny, and it was very bad up there. Didn't think that they were going to be able to recover myself, but this is Connor McDavid's team, and they have really found it. And it's not who you play, it's when you play them. Probably worst case scenario for the Blackhawks playing the Oilers at this given moment. But we're banged up and they're on a roll. So I think you said earlier it was going to be a bloodbath. I can see it happening as well on my TV screen. I can already sort of envision the bad that I'm about to watch.
Yeah, for ESPN's sake, they got to hope that it's at least close through one period here, because otherwise you're going to get people tuning out of that thing pretty damn quick. I don't know what other college basketball games, what the hell else is going on the, you know, sports slate tonight that others would be tuned into. But any viewers that may come in, they're going to tune out quick if it unfolds like I foresee it, just given the Blackhawks injuries. And that's just one last thing talking about injuries there. You know, when I had declared the Oilers cooked there, that was when Connor McDavid had a lot of question marks around him. He did not look like himself, even when he was playing. Looked like he was just trying to grit through it because they were going through a tough time earlier. And I think that only made him worse. So then he finally took a handful of games off and now is back into his regular groove, doing Connor McDavid things on a regular basis. And unfortunately, I think he'll have ample opportunity to do that against a ragtag bunch of Blackhawks defensemen tonight. So that's a 9 o'clock puck drop on ESPN. Tune in for the bloodbath. We hope it's not that, but I'm just telling you my prediction right now, 5-1 Oilers. That's what I would guess. You got a prediction? Yeah,
Vegas is also favoring your predictions. Johnny Hawks coming in at +385 right now. Oof. On FanDuel, which is, yeah, it's going to be interesting. You went 5-1. I'll go 6-3.
Ooh, you think we get more than one? I like it. I hope we do.
More than one goal.
I like goals. I want to see highlights. Even if, you know, because even if they lose and you at least, you know, keep it close, maybe that last one's an empty netter. You feel better about it. Yes, that would be huge. I just don't feel great about it, just given the like I said, the defensive personnel. You go and list out those teams, Ben Pope, put them all together. When you look at that, it's just the reality of the situation. It doesn't look favorable for our Blackhawks here.
Here's the X factor tonight. Which version of Peter Mrazek are you going to get?
Right. That's true.
He has played some really, really good hockey over his last two games. I think even his scoreless stretch went into in through three games there. And he did have, I believe it was two full games by clock of shutout hockey. Does give up one in the third on Saturday, but he's looked brilliant. So if he can hold them for maybe the first two periods, things could get a little wacky. Who knows? That's why they play the game.
Edmonton likes to throw a lot of cross ice, and especially get Leon Draisaitl down into that rock star zone slot at the very bottom of the right circle, Tony. So I honestly worry a little bit about Mrazek's ability to go back and forth post to post that quickly and extend that leg, given his history of groin issues. I knock on wood, really hope that doesn't happen, but that is a threat that you have to worry about with the Oilers, just because Draisaitl can rocket it from essentially the goal line down there. So that's something the Hawks are going to have to do. And you know what? Maybe a Louis Crevier and Alex Vlasic pair can help negate that with their, you know, million foot reaches that they have out there and all that height that they have combined, but they're going to have to use their sticks to do it, because I don't think their feet are going to be able to get over there quick enough. So that'll about wrap it up for the preview of tonight's game. One other trip on this quick little two-game road trip. They'll be in Seattle on Thursday night, 9 o'clock, NBC Sports Chicago Plus for that one. Kraken team that has been struggling, a little bit of fraud watch from them following last year. They are not the same team. They've been struggling. I'd love to take it to them there. So that's what we got on the docket. But who knows, because we don't know if Seth Jones is going to come back and join the team for that or what have you. A lot of question marks surrounding the Blackhawks right now. All right, Tony, final thought, and then we got to get on out of here.
Final thought. It's time to figure out ways to put together some winning streaks. I have no doubt in my mind that this team is going to find somewhere near the bottom of the standings at the end of this thing. But Johnny, for our enjoyment, it's time to get a couple of wins. It's not promising on this road trip for all the reasons that we just mentioned: injuries, guys out with personal issues, all that stuff. So you're going to have to get some luck, and somebody's going to have to come up big if we're going to be in the win column here. But this could be a little bit of a gauntlet.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you need some luck and you just need some health, which unfortunately we just don't know the timeline on all of these guys. Like even someone like Kevin Korchinski, I was wondering like maybe if that is going to, you know, come back into play at some point here. We don't know. And there hasn't really been an update. And obviously after the whole Corey Perry situation that unfolded, we kind of know that it's going to be not very publicized when it comes to something like that. They at least gave us the reason on this front, but you don't know that. You don't know when Andre Esefinasiu is coming back. He's presumably not even on the road trip. You don't know if Seth Jones is going to join at the end of this road trip or wait until they come back home after it. So a lot of question marks, but the guys that are out there, go and, you know, earn your paycheck. Go and, like I said, you need that extra jolt of energy, extra smelling salts on the bench. That's my, you know, tactical tip for all of them.
Go play hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get pucks in deep, pucks on net, and win some hockey games.
There we go. That seems like a good strategy.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Four Feathers Podcast. This was Season 5, Episode 17. Hope you enjoy the Connor versus Connor battle for the first time tonight. Hopefully the Blackhawks keep it close, but don't count on it if you listen to the rest of this episode. Other than that, we shall be back after this road trip wraps up. Appreciate all of you tuning in. You can go and follow us on socials at Four Feathers Pod, at OnTap Sportsnet, and check out OnTapSportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports, literature, and podcasting needs. And you want to subscribe to OnTap Sportsnet on YouTube and Facebook so you can jump in the comments section as we go live for these shows. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Until next time, let's go Hawks.
Let's go Hawks.